Okay, we're emerged.
Great, thanks. Okay, sorry for the delay, everyone. We're gonna call the meeting to order at 12:07. We were having some technical troubles here on the board line, but I think we're all here now. I'm gonna go through roll call quickly in no particular order. Grant Westerson.
I am here, thank you.
Paul Hinch.
Here.
Dave Perillo.
Here.
John Johnson. Did we lose John?
I'm sorry, I had it on mute. I'm here, Dave.
Yeah, no worries. Cheers. Brian Thompson.
I am here.
Tom Patton.
I am here.
Parker Wise.
Here.
Doug Delana.
Here.
We have new board member joining us today, Paul Weitzcarver, who many of you will recall from his previous support of the organization a couple years ago. Paul, welcome.
Thank you, and I'm here.
Okay, Alexander Daum. Chuck Roman. John Carter. Tom Gill. Felix Reyes. And Justin Elliker. Okay, with 10 present, we have a quorum, and we'll move on to the approval of minutes of the February 21st regular meeting. Is there a motion to approve?
I'll move the approval.
I'll second.
By Grant, is there second by John? Any discussion, comments, or suggested changes? Okay, all those in favor, please indicate by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Any abstentions? Okay, moving on to the. Yes, noted, Paul. Thank you.
Yep.
Okay, moving on to public comment. Please open up the lines. Any members of the public who wish to speak at this time, please press star 6 to unmute your line and state your name.
Kevin Blacker, I'd like to speak.
Yep, go right ahead, Mr. Blacker.
So, I'd like to remind everybody on the line, and it sounds like there's, quite a few of them, that there are two ongoing federal investigations and attorney general investigation. Now, this investigation is into an organization and a deal that right across the river from Electric Boat, right down the river from the sub base where nuclear subs pass on a regular basis. I know that it's gotten a lot of attention, but I think that people sometimes lose sight of the magnitude of what's being investigated and what has occurred. You've got a $523,000 success fee paid to a company that gave bribes. You can call them gifts. You can call them illegal gifts. They were bribes to former employees of the Connecticut Port Authority. You can say Andrew Levine, he paid him back. He only paid him back after he knew the press and myself were onto him, applying extreme pressure. And those were bribes. And these investigations ongoing, they've gotten attention, but not enough. Now, Andrew Levine was hired under questionable circumstances. In Ulysses Heyman's words this morning, he was stolen. That was the word that Ulysses used, that Andrew Levine was stolen by the Lamont administration. That has gotten some attention. It deserves more. how you're going to take somebody when you guys are so incompetent and understaffed, and then to take a major player out when this deal isn't finished and when it's on the rocks. It's just it's kind of incomprehensible. But to get to the present, there's still no GMP. The dashboard that came out this morning announced another delay, albeit one day from the delays that were announced on March 31st. No GMP. We've been told for years that negotiations are ongoing and the gross maximum price was going to be finalized. And I have to ask anybody on this line, whether it's the press, whether any legislators give a shit enough to attend, at what point do you stop listening to a person? At what point do you stop taking their word, whether it's your son or a worker or a friend? At what point does a person's word become worthless? Because the Connecticut Port Authority's word is completely worthless. Nothing you say matters over and over and over, whether it's contracts with those MOA with the OPM, that it's just going to be one more extension and then just one more and just one more, or you're going to meet in person. You know, you were supposed to meet in person in New Haven, and there's always some excuse to why you guys can't meet your word. It was going to be $93 million. It was going to be $157 million. It was going to be $235. It was going to be $255. And David Corus always has an excuse. It was going to be finished in 2022, then 2023, now 2024, and there's always an excuse. So I think that you guys have run out of passes. You've run out, and the press keeps giving them to you, but they shouldn't. Now, at the Finance Committee meeting this morning, we were told that AECOM expects in 1.5 to 2 weeks a report on the expenses, on the available funds. So the fact that there's not another amendment to the Harbor Development Agreement on today's agenda leads me to believe that you guys are going to further withhold information from the public, keep the magnitude of the cost overrun, try to hold it until you get some ship here that you guys can try and muddle up the waters and have David Corus down there getting his picture taken and make it seem like what you guys are doing has not been a complete failure, complete boondoggle. So I'm going to close by saying, pointing out that Ulysses Haymon hired as interim. At what point are you guys going to get your act together? Because it's been years that you haven't. There's always a, it was Paul Whitescarver was the interim. Now you've got him on the board. Ulysses Haymon is the interim. There's, you have Don Frost off the board, and then you get Larry McHugh in here. And you're always in this crisis mode. And at what point does it stop? At what point do you guys get your act together? It hasn't happened in 3 years. I don't believe that it's going to. I think you guys are just totally, totally incompetent. And that's all I have to say.
Thank you. Any other members of the public wish to speak at this time? Reminder, it's *6 to get yourself off mute. Any members of the public wish to speak at this time? Okay. Next item on the agenda, is the Executive Director's update. Ulysses, I'll hand it over to you.
Thank you so much, Mr. Chairman. And good morning to the board. I also would like to take this opportunity to join the chair in welcoming Paul Whitescarver to the board. But also, with the board's indulgence, I would like to begin my report this morning acknowledging the contribution and support of Andrew Levine, who is now the Clean Economy Program Manager for DECD. As I stated to the press earlier this week, last week, He is a talented young professional who has played a vital role in advancing the mission of the Connecticut Port Authority and will, no doubt at DECD, enhance our state's coordination and economic development of renewable energy opportunities, including offshore wind. Can't tell you right now how much we miss him as part of our team, but I did want to acknowledge his contributions to our organization and to the mission. Now on to some of the developments within the organization. I'll start with the financial management of the office and indicate that the CPA Finance Office, under the supervision of the Finance Director, Veronica Calvert, continues to operate at a high rate of proficiency. For example, providing the requisite financial data and analysis for the 2022 annual financial report, which will be before us today, processing the transfer of funds to the United States Army Corps of Engineers for the state's dredging study, processing non-PO vouchers in Corps for reimbursement of state peer project related legal expenditures, or monthly up-to-date reconciliations, and there are 29 accounts that have to be reconciled on a monthly basis, as well as the coordination and collaboration with OPM relative to issues and questions raised by the state auditor of accounts. The office continues to work on the state bond allocation Excel file developed by OPM to account for all deposits and withdrawals for prior years and has completed the third quarter report for the Office of Fiscal Analysis. Additionally, the Finance Director is the CPA Office Ethics Liaison, who tracks the board's and the staff's compliance with state ethics rules and regulations. Training and educational information has been provided to the board and staff with the expectation that everyone will complete the annual ethics training certifications by May 1, 2023, which is the deadline. I'll repeat, the deadline for ethics training certifications is May 1, 2023. You may recall that we also had our ethics training of the board on February 21. When it comes to the submission of reports, we have submitted April 1, 2023 quarterly report to the Transportation Committee, and also we've completed the FY22 annual financial report again, which is on the agenda today under item number 5B. Moving on now to, a procurement update. Last year, the authority worked closely with the State Contracting Standards Board and the Office of Policy and Management to develop a new procurement manual to supplement the authority's operating procedures and to guide policies and procedures for future contracts that are greater than $50,000 or terms that are longer than 1 year. I met recently with the Chief Procurement Officer of the SCSB, who confirmed that the current procurement manual for the CPA is the one that the SCSB collaborated and is appropriate right now for use. Also, our chair, David Kouris, and I had an introductory meeting with the new executive director of the SCSB. We have several procurements to conduct in 2023, which will meet the threshold of the newly established procurement standards. Most notably, those procurements include legal services, which is a 3-year engagement, and auditing services, another 3-year engagement. These will be the first multi-year procurements conducted since the new procedures were established. We plan to work very closely with OPM and the SCSB to utilize their expertise regarding state contracting requirements and to ensure we have the resources available to conduct successful procurements for those contracts. Moving on now to the New Haven Harbor Navigation Improvement Project. The New Haven Harbor Strategic Partner meeting was conducted on April the 4th, 2023, where there was an extensive discussion regarding the progress of the design efforts being undertaken by the Army Corps of Engineers. The items discussed at the meeting specific to design components included surveys of the entrance channel, turning basin, West River, and beneficial use sites. Also, geophysical analysis and borings, ship simulation efforts, as well as project coordination with cross-sound cable. The Army Corps has confirmed receipt also of the CPA's $980,000 cost share in this particular project. With respect to Pier 7, Fort Trumbull, GZA, the environmental company, is responsible for permitting coordination with the state and federal entities. A joint permit application has been submitted to both Connecticut DEEP for a certificate of permission and to the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers for a self-certification general permit 2B application. As a requirement of the self-certification general permit 2B application, public notice must be posted in the day. GZA has posted the notice of application and is working on plans and specifications for bidding in coordination with Connecticut DEEP Parks. When it comes to our SHIP Round 3 programs, on April the 6th, 2023, I testified before the Bond Commission in support of the CPA's board's recommendation of the following small harbor improvement projects, and the commission so approved those projects in the amount of $5,043,846. Those projects were for the municipalities of Brantford, Stonington, Stratford, Norwich, and Norwalk. Moving on to now the statewide dredging study and the planning assistance to states. The finance office, that is our finance office, has now processed the dredge study of $750,000 transfer to the CPA Corps to the CPA Corps to the Army Corps of Engineers, and that is to their New England district. When it comes to the educational presentations and tours, this is probably one of the areas that I get the greatest amount of joy and out of, because we get a chance to actually share with the public exactly what it is that we are doing and what the promise is of the projects that we are also working on. On March the 16th, members, the executive director, members of the board, and staff of the Southeastern Connecticut Enterprise Region, and they're also known as SECTOR, visited the State Pier construction site for a tour and briefing. SECTOR was onboarding a new development officer at that time, a new development staffer, and thought this would be a great opportunity to have an on-site introduction and a great opportunity for their new staffer to also get the experience of the on-site project. On March 28, a 12-member delegation of state government and offshore wind stakeholders from California stopped by the pier for a briefing on how and why Connecticut is leading the staging and assembly of turbines on the East Coast. The group was a very diverse group of environmental and renewable energy leaders of California. For example, attending were the Deputy Secretary of Energy, Founding Director and Board Secretary of Renewable 100 Policy Institute, and a tribal advocate, just to name a few. They were on their way to an offshore wind conference in Baltimore. Joining us as part of the briefing on that day and to welcome the delegation to New London and Connecticut were Felix Reyes, the Economic Development Director of New London, and John Bordeaux, President of Advanced CT. On April the 4th, I met with the board chair and leadership of the Green Bank in Hartford to provide an overview of the state peer project and emphasize how mutually important interagency coordination is in achieving regional and statewide economic development success. On April the 12th, the CPA was represented by Board Chair David Kouras and Andrew Levine at Advanced CT's Meet the Buyer event in New Haven with Orsted and Eversource to conduct local contractors and to connect, really, local contractors with original equipment manufacturers, who are also known as OEMs, looking for support services. Our chair, David Kouras, was a panelist presenting on State Pier in New London's role as a staging and assembly hub. On April 17th, just yesterday, 20 students, actually it was 15 students, five of them were not able to make it. We were scheduled for 20, but 15 students from the College of the Environment at Wesleyan University, taking a renewable energy class, they took a field trip to the State Pier for a hands-on, real-life insight into what's happening in Connecticut relative to decarbonization and renewable energy initiatives. In addition to their professor, we were joined by Ray Collins, Manager and Government Affairs and Community Relations at Eversource. That really concludes right now the first part of my report. I will be reporting later on the status of the New London State Pier project, but I'll open this up for any questions that anyone might have.
Any questions or comments from any members of the board on anything in Ulysses' report? Great. All right. Thanks, Ulysses. Moving on to the committee updates. First and foremost, you see here in item 5A, I just want to remind folks that with some of the turnover we've had on the board and several new members, we have some of you that are not on committees or some of you who took ex officio lots who were put on the committees that your predecessors were on. Just take a look at it. Just to recall, the three standing committees we have are Finance Committee, which meets monthly the morning of this meeting, Audit, Compliance, and Governance, which meets about three times a year, and Human Resources, which meets, I think, has regularly scheduled two meetings a year, but can meet occasionally more often than that if there's a hiring process underway. I guess I would just remind folks to indicate to me, I'll be in touch with those of you who don't have committee assignments yet to talk about where your interest lies, and we will make those appointments at the June meeting for the coming fiscal year. Any questions, comments, or immediate volunteers? Okay. Next item is the Finance Committee report. We had a Finance Committee meeting this morning at 10 a.m. We went through the budget, both capital accounts and operating. No substantial changes from last month. We are still waiting for our first payment of revenue associated with utilization of State Pier, which we expect to happen in the very near term, as the first phase is transferred over to Gateway for operations later this month. Ulysses will talk a little bit more about that in the State Pier update. We also had a briefing from Ulysses and Veronica on a proposed fiscal year 24 budget stayed largely flat with some modest escalation, didn't provide any substantive changes from this year as a conservative starting point. We have the next 2 months or so to vet that for adoption in June. That budget, you'll see, proposes a pretty significant surplus, which we're going to have to figure out how to evolve our operations and identify new programs with our increase in revenue coming off of the pier. But we didn't think it was really appropriate to do that until we start seeing that revenue flowing. If anyone who's not a member of the Finance Committee wants to take a look at that draft budget, just let me or Ulysses know, and we'll get that circulated so that you can provide feedback either at the next committee meeting or in anticipation of the June board meeting. The only action taken by the committee was a recommendation to the board to adopt the submission of the fiscal year 2022 annual financial report pursuant to Connecticut General Statute Section 1-123A. It's a lot of material that we've seen in other quarterly reports, but this is one of our statutory requirements. To that end, based on the recommendation from committee, I will read a resolution and entertain a motion and second, and then we can have any discussion if there is any. Resolved that the executive director be and hereby is authorized, empowered, and directed for and on behalf of the Connecticut Port Authority to submit the annual report responsive to Connecticut General Statute Section 1-123A to the governor and the auditors of public accounts as recommended by the Finance Committee and as further described in the exhibit to the agenda item number 5B, and to deliver any and all other reasonable and necessary documents in furtherance thereof. Is there a motion to approve Ulysses' submittal of that annual report? And a reminder to board members to please mute your lines when you're not speaking. Is there a motion to approve?
I made that motion, David. Yep.
Yeah, thank you. John, is there a second?
Tom Patton, second.
Tom Patton, second. Any discussion, comments, questions? Okay, all those in favor, please indicate by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Any abstentions? Okay, it passes unanimously. Next item on the agenda is a summary of the Human Resources Committee meeting. And with that, Brian Thompson, chair of that committee, I will pass it over to you.
All right, thanks, David. So, the committee had a special meeting last week. Following Andrew's departure and I think we're all pretty aware of the extent to which Andrew was supporting the Port Authority, variety of duties that were really critical to the sort of ongoing functioning of the Port Authority. And so, and I know Ulysses would certainly agree that he provided many valuable services. So we prioritized moving forward on finding a replacement for Andrew, and in considering the scope of what Andrew was doing relative to his formal job description, we thought it best to propose or recommend a new position to be added to the schedule of positions that would be entitled office manager, and really provide for those sort of more administrative office management and related functions that are needed on a day-to-day basis, as opposed to sort of some of the longer-term, strategic planning and business development responsibilities. So we did craft a job description for an office manager, and that was hatched in the materials that Ulysses sent out. And I think maybe I'll stop there and see at this point if anybody has any particular thoughts or comments on that approach and that job description.
So are we thinking about hiring two people to replace Andrew? Is that what our thought is?
Yeah, John. So, you know, for right now, we really think it's important to quickly get somebody in to provide that office support. And so we're adding a position and looking to fill that immediately, not intending to fill the other position that is the business development and special projects manager position at this point. It will remain on the schedule of positions, and we will consider at a future date whether it's appropriate to move forward with filling that, but really wanted to make sure we had the necessary office management support.
Yeah, that makes sense. What yep. about, have you thought about going to an office temp and talk to them?
We did not discuss a temp position. Certainly something that could be considered, but I think we're hoping we can get pretty quickly through a hiring process and have somebody on board before long.
I think an office temp would get us somebody more quickly than us going out and advertising a position. Just my own opinion.
I think the challenge with that, John, this is David. I think I agree it's probably a quicker path, but when we look at the type of administrative activities that the organization requires, a lot of it is what I might call sort of atypical. So things like dealing with FOIA requests, things like dealing with compliance on quarterly reporting with the legislature. You know, they are functionally administrative tasks, but one that someone needs a little bit bigger knowledge of the organization and its activities to perform. And so, you know, I think we'll have to reassess the situation depending on what we see after posting. But I think the hope is that we get someone at that sort of mid-level who is a little bit more than, you know, what we would get from a temp service, but not take too long to do so.
Understand. Thanks.
And rest assured, I will be working on this as fast as possible, John.
Yeah. Well, we all know how much you need staff, no question.
Thank you.
All right. Any other questions or comments on that approach? Okay, hearing none. So then the other item that we are beginning to move on is going out for recruiting an executive director, a permanent executive director position. And so we reviewed the job description for that position and made some very minor changes to it, or recommending some very minor changes to it. You know, nothing really very substantial, changing a few words in a few places. And our intention is to begin that process very shortly. We're trying to get together information on outlets, and with Dave Perillo is taking a lead on identifying sources for posting advertising for the position, and we are also looking into getting some support from a third party to assist just sort of with the administrative aspects of doing a recruitment, so not a full-blown director search, but you know, that will largely fall to the HR committee and the board to do the you know, screening of applications and review and interviews and all that. But just to have some assistance for you know, getting posting materials together for posting, receiving the applications that can then be reviewed by the committee and the board, and just sort of providing some administrative support in our process. So again, I will take a pause there and see if anybody has any thoughts, or if anybody on the committee wants to add anything. Okay. Hearing none, so the action we need to take, or that the board needs to take up, is an approval of the updated schedule of positions with that new position added. So, David, do you want to read that resolution?
Sure, happy to. Resolved that the Board of Directors hereby approves the adoption of an annual schedule of positions and total staffing levels for the fiscal year ending June 30th, 2024, as outlined in Section 5 of the Authority's Operating Procedures and as described in the exhibit to Agenda Item Number 5C, Subsection 1. Is there a motion to approve the schedule of positions with that additional position?
I'll make that motion.
Moved by Grant. Thank you. Is there a second?
Second, Tom Patton.
Thanks. Thank you. Any questions, comments, or discussion? Okay, all those in favor, please indicate by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Any abstentions? Okay, motion passed unanimously. Thanks, Brian, for the update, and thanks to the HR committee for moving that forward. Next, we'll move on to item 6 on the agenda, State Pier Infrastructure Improvement Project Update, and Ulysses, I'll hand it back to you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The State Pier Project this month will achieve another major milestone by transferring approximately 60% of the site's acreage from construction to terminal operation to Gateway Terminal in time for the anticipated first arrival of vessels in May and on target for commencement of the South Fork Wind Project. The coordination and collaboration of the team has been nothing short of remarkable. While we still have approximately 40% to complete before the Champaign celebration, the current momentum and commitment is promising. I am also happy to report that as part of the transition from construction activities to upcoming terminal operations, the CPA, together with Gateway, NEO, pilots, and United States Coast Guard, have successfully completed a navigational risk assessment associated with anticipated vessel activities. Additionally, State of Connecticut licensed marine pilots and local tug operators from Thames Shipyard in New London received training just last week, April 11th and April the 13th, at the U.S. Maritime Resource Center in Newport, Rhode Island. Orsted Marine Affairs provided updated port simulation charts, and the CPA provided hydrographic surveys of the improved dredging within the turning basin, so pilots could become familiar with maneuvering offshore wind delivery vessels and equipment within the new improved port. Over the last several months and continuing into April, construction activity has progressed significantly at each of the major work fronts, those work fronts being the Northeast Bulkhead Heavy Lift Platform, which is known as our delivery berth. Also, the upland areas. Also, dredging. Central Wharf and South Wall area. State Pier tow wall and the State Pier heavy lift platform, which is also known as our installation berth. To facilitate upcoming ship arrivals, the Northeast Bulkhead heavy lift platform achieved substantial completion at the end of February. Fenders, bollards, and ladders have been installed. The turnover of key upland areas for terminal operations follows the substantial completion of multiple construction activities, including installation of drainage pipe, storm water outfalls, electrical duct bank, critical equipment platforms, high mast lights, subgrade proof rolling, placement and compaction of dense graded aggregate, or DGA, perimeter fencing, guardrail and asphalt pavement. As a matter of fact, the asphalt pavement, some of that is continuing today and should be and will be completed this week. Dredging activity within the turning basin and the delivery berth in compliance with permit conditions also was completed. As noted at our last meeting, dredging of the final 14,000 cubic yards, which is adjacent to the State Pier installation berth, has been rescheduled for fall of 2023, following completion of the state tow wall rock sockets, which are required for stability of the new foundation tow wall. From an electrical equipment perspective, the project team continues to track the supply chain challenged delivery of various electrical equipment and components, such as transformers, panel boards, switchgear, and direct disconnect switches. While the majority of the equipment is on site, the delivery dates for the 690V panel boards and the 15KV disconnect switches for the ship-to-shore power at the State Pier installation berth remain early fall of 2023. However, commissioning of the electrical equipment for the South Fork Wind Project remains scheduled for next month in May. At the Central Wharf, final impact driving of the pipe and sheet pile to construct the south wall continues from an east to west perspective. Also, the balance of works at the south wall will continue through August of this year. As noted in my previous report to the board, pile driving at State Pier has continued to be challenged due to the existence of shallow and deep obstructions and variable high rock elevations along the tow wall and throughout the footprint of the heavy lift platform. The contractor continues to utilize multiple means for removing obstructions. For specific locations where high rock elevations have been encountered, the contractor has scheduled rock sockets to be drilled into the bedrock commencing May of this year, and final driving of pipe piles that have not reached design tip elevation is scheduled for summer of 2023 after the last concrete deck pour of the State Pier heavy lift platform. As I stated earlier, significant progress has been achieved. Also, as I stated in my previous report to the board, we have been engaged in a series of complex negotiations with multiple parties regarding the development of a fair final path forward to the project completion this fall. I also have another report here. But what I wanted to also report to you is that we have actually come to the point wherein a significant amount of work and negotiations have taken place, and we now have what we consider to be very, very close now to actually completing the negotiations. As a matter of fact, we anticipate that those negotiations will be completed over the course of the next few weeks. So it will require, no doubt, another special meeting of the board in order for us to actually be in a position to consider an amended HDA as well as an amended GMP number 9. Please know that the entire team is committed to making the State Pier in New London the first operation United States-based heavy lift marine terminal that will accommodate offshore wind, nacelles, towers, blades, and other maritime cargoes. Our terminal will also be the first offshore wind terminal that the first United States-built wind turbine installation vessel, the Charybdis, will deploy in 2024 for the Revolution Wind Project and Sunrise Wind Projects. That concludes my report to the board at this point in time, and I'm going to turn this over for more technical background on the project to Marlon Peterson. Marlon? Marlon may be on the public line. Is that? Okay. Marlon, you may have to unmute.
I think I have.
Okay, we hear you now.
Okay. Apologize for that. I think Ulysses gave a very detailed discussion, but what I wanted to do was just provide a little more detail into the complexity of the issues at the South Wall, and for that matter, the State Pier. Since the last board meeting, the project team have continued to work together to solve these subsurface obstruction issues, pile tolerances, and if you recall, some insufficient soil tension capacity that was plaguing the southern end of the facility. We have redesigned that location, and through that redesign, we sourced additional pipe pile and other tie rod type material. The current construction activities are driving those additional piles. We are installing the anchor wall and installing the tie rods. Those tie rods are on the southern side, and as they progress in an east to west fashion, the tie rod ultimately connects what's the very southern wall to the anchor wall. Consistent with our engineer's direction, this connection will enable the sequential placement. If you've seen or looked at the aerials, the sequential placement of our final fill material in the remaining wedge or water area in the same east to west orientation. If you would, we can't overfill it too quickly. You put too much pressure on the wall, and if anyone is familiar with playing in the sand, it bends outward and therefore it collapses. So it needs to be done in a oriented sequential way. But once that fill material is placed up to the subgrade, much like the balance of the central wharf area, we vibro-compact the soil to create the necessary density. And as we then create that density, we place the DGA material on the top surface so that it then looks like the balance of the site. Again, if you look at, if you were to go by the site and look at today's pictures or condition. That final fill placement along the southern wall is scheduled to be complete in June, with the balance of that south wall then continuing in the month of August, consistent with the executive director's previous conversation. So that is, if you would, those types of detailed discussions, negotiations, redesign is what we have been doing over the past, from January through the current weeks, all of which is being incorporated into and embedded within the final GMP document. So appreciate your patience, but we did want to give you a bit of an idea, if you would, into the complexity of the type of infrastructure that's being generated for these unique offshore wind components. One final piece, as of mid-April, the value of the work completed on site is approximately $205 million. And as noted before by the executive director, the overall completion of the State Pier infrastructure improvements is scheduled consistent with the materials that are presented to the public for late fall 2023. Thank you, Ulysses. Back to you.
Okay. And I just want to also emphasize that we have recently made significant progress and negotiating with both Kiewit on final cost and with NEO on cost share for the remaining work. That said, though, many details remain to be resolved, and negotiation of these aspects remain ongoing. It is anticipated amongst the parties that a Fourth Amendment to the HDA and Ninth Amendment to the Construction Manager contract can be presented to the board at a special meeting in May. And so with that, we are prepared to take any questions that you might have.
Anyone have any questions or comments for either Ulysses or Marlon? Okay, hearing none, we'll move on to old business. I think the only item we have in old business, Ulysses mentioned earlier, just a reminder, and new members are free, feel free to reach out and we can make sure that you have all the materials and can discuss the process, but we need to do our ethics, certifications by May 1st. We had our training in February, and coming out of that, we expect everyone to do their certification with Veronica within the next 2 weeks. Any other old business? Any new business? Okay, with that, I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Moved by Grant. Is there a second?
Second. Parker.
Second by Parker. And with that, the meeting is adjourned at 12:59. And as Ulysses said, everyone look out for some emails around scheduling of a special meeting. I'll probably be looking out 3 weeks or so, and members of the public, look out for that meeting announcement. Thanks, everyone, and have a great rest of the week.
Thank you, guys. Bye-bye.